Welcome all the gamers to the All The Gaming Podcast. The podcast is all about the discussion of video games and other gaming topics. I am Dale White, the advocate for insanity. We've got another great episode for you this week. Of course, my guest this week to talk about some gaming is Twitch streamer Girl on Fire. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I am ready to get into this, but first, before we do, I want to let everybody know, hopefully full episodes will be starting back 100% soon. Sorry about the absence of full episodes. Hope you're enjoying the new Quick Thoughts episodes. Those will be still coming out every week, though, even once full episodes get back into the swing. Of course, though, if you want to support the podcast, the best way to do that is just by telling somebody. You know, at the end of the day, podcasts live and die by word of mouth. Not just this one, but any of your favorite podcasts out there. So let somebody know. Share a link. Tell a friend. Tell your worst enemy if you think it's terrible. Just tell somebody. Hopefully you don't think it's terrible. But if you do, tell somebody you dislike. And then torture them with it, I guess, maybe. And of course, if you want to support in another way, maybe you'd like to buy a shirt from the All The Gaming merch store or a hoodie. You can always do that too. So like Fluff said, go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
So have to get through that stuff. With that out of the way, of course, I have to ask you the first question that I always ask everybody that comes on the podcast. What was the first game that really got you into gaming?
Oh, no. The first game that got me into gaming. I definitely have to say Pokemon. I grew up on Pokemon. So the first ones I always played were, I still have it, my Game Boy Color.
Nice.
Yeah, so I have the yellow version, the gold version, and the blue version. And the blue version was my very first one. And
same here, actually.
Really? Awesome. Yeah, I loved it. But my Game Boy Color had to be yellow, though, because I loved Pikachu so much. So my
Did
mom got me that one.
You got the actual Pikachu?
No.
Okay. I know there was a special edition, like, Game Boy. I think it was, it may have been an original Game Boy. I don't remember if it was an original Game Boy, if it was a Game Boy Color that was like a Pikachu yellow one. And I think it came with yellow version too.
I think I remember that too. But yeah, I think that came out after the Game Boy Color. And like, I'm not sure. But I remember that coming out and I was like, well, it's too late. I already have my yellow one that I wanted. And I played that blue version forever. But I think that one would have to be the one. Because I did play a lot of, my cousins and I would always play Stadium.
Nice.
But it wasn't something that I had. So I would just go over there to my cousin's place and play it constantly. But I would say definitely the blue version of Pokemon.
Did they have the packs that you could stick in the back of the controller so you could actually bring your team from the game over?
No, I did not have that.
See, that was always fun with Pokemon Stadium. If you had, you know, with any of the first generation games, then you could take your game. And I remember doing that as well because I didn't have Pokemon Stadium, but my cousins did. I actually did end up getting it later on, but I do remember going over to my cousin's house when they had it, and then just bringing my Game Boy, and then popping my game card in the back of the controller. There's this little thing that stuck into the back of the controller. You could actually use that to play the Game Boy game itself through Pokemon Stadium. So you could actually play Red, Blue, or Yellow version on the N64 through that thing on the back of the that plugged into the back of the controller. But then you could also use that to, you know, play battle against other people using your teams from the game, but in 3D. And if you actually had certain nicknames on your Pokemon, they would show up sometimes with different colors.
Yeah, I
weird.
I don't remember that. That's really cool, though. But it's always the cousins that have the good games, is it not?
Yeah. I think I remember having a pincer or something that was green instead of brown.
Huh.
And I remember hearing about other stuff, too, like somebody having a purple Ditto.
Oh, my God. I got to look this up now.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff like that that happened in Pokemon Stadium. And those weren't even shiny either, because that, I mean, Pokemon Stadium 1 was before shiny Pokemon existed.
Right.
I think that carried over and was still a thing in 2 as well. But then you also had the chance of having shiny Pokemon as well, because they were in Gold and Silver.
Huh. Yeah, it was definitely blue version that got me more into gaming more than anything.
So what was it about that really cemented that for you?
I don't know. I guess because I watched Pokemon, obviously, before I got into the games. And I think just like it being like it coming to life, essentially, like now, like Pokemon Go brought that to us more in like this era. But I think that time for me, it was like the closest thing that I could get to being a Pokemon master, essentially. And like, that's what I loved more about it, was being a part of that show that I cared and loved so much as a kid, that was something that I could do along with it. And then it just kind of branched out. Like a viewer asked me what my very first game was, I think this past weekend, my very first game, and it was definitely Sims. Like, Sims was the very first game I ever played, and it was at my cousin's place. Of course, the same cousin. And
would that be like the Sims 1, the first one?
Yeah. And I used to go over there, and we used to play and like make up all these weird stories for our characters and stuff like that. And we just, I don't know, it was a fun game, but it wasn't something that I was like, yeah, I would spend hours playing this at home by myself. Like, it's more fun with other people. And then I think eventually my grandma had, I think it was a Sega. And we'd go over there and play like all kinds of different games. And like, those games were fun, but Pokemon was the really like eye opener for me, I feel like, into the gaming world.
So that was your aha moment.
Yeah.
this is awesome.
So I was really young. So like, my cousins would take control of the controllers and I just sit there and kind of like watch. But like, Pokemon
but in
was
blue,
like
you
game.
Were able to, you were the one in control.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Because we'd play like Aladdin, we'd play, oh my God, I can't even think of some of the games. They randomly pop up in my memory sometimes when I'm just doing random stuff, like walking around the grocery store and you think about random games that you played as a kid.
See, nowadays you see kids just walking around the grocery store playing games because,
yeah.
I worked in a grocery store for a while, and the Switch was already out at that point in time, and it was not uncommon to see a kid just with a Nintendo Switch in their hand,
right,
like playing Minecraft or something on their Switch, like in the grocery store. It's like, man, do you know what I would have given for that? You know, when I was a kid, come on.
My mom would never let me take My mom would let me take the Game Boy to like family reunions or different events and stuff that I could sit down and, but like if we were at a grocery store, she would not, because she was afraid of me losing it or like breaking it or something. But if I could just sit down, sit still and play it, that was fine. But if I had the Switch when I was a kid, that would be like a hell no, that's not leaving this house kind of thing, because it's so expensive.
You know, I don't even remember if I ever tried to bring my Game Boy into a grocery store. I remember bringing it everywhere, like in the car and playing it.
Right.
But I don't ever remember trying to bring it into a grocery store, to be honest. So I don't know what my parents' stance was on that. Come to think of it.
But then, like, you also couldn't leave it in the car because it had batteries. And those batteries would cook, like, in the sun. So then my mom would never let me just leave it in the car either. It'd be like, okay, put it in my purse. We're going into the store.
I think I just kept mine in my pocket. That's probably what it was. I think I had it still on me when I went into stores, but maybe I just didn't think to try to, or maybe it's just because I was walking around and was like, well, I can't look at where I'm going. And
right.
I don't know.
Well, nowadays, that's all people do is just stare at their phones and walk around. It's a talent.
I really got good at that with Pokemon Go. So anyway, you mostly, from what I've seen anyway, you mostly stream League of Legends, right?
Yes. And then this past weekend, I actually started streaming Animal Crossing. I finally got a capture card and was able to get my Switch over. So nice. Hopefully I'll be streaming some more games. I do have Pokemon. Like, I have Let's Go Eevee. I still have not finished because I'm really bad about finishing games.
So are you looking to kind of transition away from being mostly League of Legends to be more of like a variety streamer?
Yeah, just because like I want to be able to branch out and kind of meet like a bigger audience. And like, I've streamed League for over a year now. So I think it's time to like open it up a little bit. And when I was streaming Animal Crossing, there was new viewers coming in and like we're talking about, you know, different Animal Crossing things. And then even the League streamers or the League viewers were just like, oh, I've been interested in this game. And now like they see more interest because I'm playing it, which is nice.
Nice.
So I do like Animal Crossing, but it's like a very calming game. It makes me very sleepy.
Yeah, for sure. It's weird because I just got a new job a few weeks ago. And for the first couple weeks, the only game that I felt like I had enough mental power to come home and play, because, you know, you kind of feel a little more tired after starting a new job than mm-hmm. Well, that was it. That was the only game that I felt like I could come home and play was Animal Crossing. So for a few days, I just started playing Animal Crossing again for that reason.
Oh, yeah. It's super calming. It's just the only thing with me is that if I did that, I don't usually get off work until about 11 p.m. So all the stores are closed.
Right.
I'm just kind of just doing like housework, essentially. Like cleaning up the trees or visiting other islands to like get some tools or whatever I need to do.
You could always change the that's actually what I did for a while, because I noticed that the main time that I was playing Animal Crossing was a bad time to be able to do anything in the game. But I thought, this is the time that I want to play this. So I actually just went in and changed my clock by like 12 hours.
You're a time jumper.
Well, I wasn't like constantly doing that. I just shifted it by 12 hours and said, all right, if I'm going to be playing this game at this time every day, then let's have it be during a time of the day that I can do stuff in game.
I understand that.
And then like a week and a half after doing that, then I stopped playing it at that particular hour. So I had to go back in and change my clock back to being right.
I mean, it's not the worst thing. Sometimes like I said, the next few days I do have off. So like, it's kind of nice to, I could actually go in and visit the stores and everything, but I mean, I'm not missing out on too much, I guess. There's still some villagers up late at night.
So what other Switch games are you hoping to maybe stream in the future?
I know I have some Mario games. I definitely want to redo Zelda because I messed it up bad. I'm like early in the game and I ran out of weapons and I've looked everywhere around the area and there's no weapons. So I need to restart the game.
Well, if you have to, I'm assuming you're talking about Breath of the Wild, right?
Yes.
If you have to, legitimately, just pick up a stick and just use it. I'm serious. There was a couple points really early on where I had to do that, where I just had to grab sticks off the ground and then beat up some bokoblins until I could get
the
clubs. I might
not even have those. I might have used everything.
Oh, the sticks respawn after a while, so you can just go find them on the ground.
Maybe I'll go back to it. maybe I'll double check.
And once you get a stick, you can beat up a bokoblin and take its club, and then you should be able to upgrade from there.
Oh, man. But
once you get going, it becomes a lot easier to find weapons and just kind of go from there. Eventually you'll get to the point. I feel like really early on in that game is the hardest as far as weapon management.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get a good ways into it, you'll just start finding weapons everywhere and you won't have that problem as much anymore. Even whenever it'll still suck when you start to really like a weapon and then it breaks and you can't use it anymore, but you'll always have something.
Right. Yeah. And then trying to think of other games. I do have Pokemon Snap. I haven't really gotten too deep into it. And I do love Pokemon Snap. That was another game that I played as a kid too. So when I got the Switch version, I had to definitely get it.
Nice.
When it got released. So, but my boyfriend and I have played it and really enjoy it. He's not really into it as much as I am. But I think that'd be another fun game. I can't think of other games I have that would be streamable. I don't think Smash could be, but I feel like it's more fun with like other people. That'd be if like my boyfriend wanted to stream with me, but I don't think that'd be his forte either. But or like if I had like somebody that would be like online, just not like computers, I guess, CPUs.
Yeah, through like World of Light before, that might be interesting to see somebody stream that, because there is some interesting things there that if somebody hasn't experienced before, that could actually lead to some cool moments watching somebody play it on stream. But that would have to be like somebody's first playthrough, I think.
That's like the last, out of all the games I have, that would be the last game I would stream. But then I also got Steam. I've had Steam, but I just got Apex. I'm kind of like learning it first before I start streaming it as well, because it looked really fun. And I've seen other people stream it and I was like, okay, I'll try it out. And it's horrifying because I've never done first person shooter on a computer before. So I'm going to be using a controller at some point and I need to get some practice in before I just start streaming it. But I feel like that's kind of it right now. There's a lot of different games, essentially, that I'm hopefully going to get out there.
Yeah, I could be wrong here, but I think like games like Apex, I think Overwatch was really the first one that really blew up that was kind of like this. But it seemed like a lot of those really character-based shooters started coming out for a while there. And I don't know if this is the case or not, but I suspect that it had a lot to do with League of Legends being as successful as it was, because it used to be more stuff like Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, there was a while there when it seemed like most of the games coming out on console were just Call of Duty or Call of Duty ripoffs. There was a while there when there was way too many of them. I mean, at some point after that is whenever League of Legends came out and then really exploded. And then you started seeing stuff like Overwatch. So I think at least that probably led to that.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played Overwatch. I've never played Fortnite. I didn't really feel those games when I was kind of watching the streams and stuff like that. But then, I don't know, Apex seemed, I felt like the time in my life and my streaming career, I felt like Apex, you know, is worth a shot. So I really wanted to test the waters there and everything. I've never thought about streaming Call of Duty. I have one of the games on my PlayStation 4, and I don't think I have touched it in so long. And I never played like online or anything. It's just my brother and I would play. We'd go like my, cause he had it as well. And when we go visit my dad, that's when we'd start playing and stuff. But that's pretty much it. We never played online or anything like that. It was just kind of like me and my brother.
I think the appeal of those games are a lot different, you know? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, at least to me, games like Apex or Overwatch have a lot more As cheesy as well as cheesy as this is to say, character, of course, it has more characters as well. Mm-hmm. Something like Call of Duty, to me, that seems like it would make it more appealing to me, but then to other people, you know, they're going to be much more into the Call of Duty. And you mentioned Fortnite. I don't know. I've tried it. I just can't get into it. My niece tried to get me to play with her. I played with her just to make her happy.
Right.
But that's as much enjoyment as I've ever gotten out of Fortnite. I just can't get into it, which I've heard that they just put out a new update that, I don't know if it's permanent or if it's temporary. I'm assuming it's temporary, where they remove building from the game. I'd kind of be interested to play it in that state, because I could never really wrap my head around the whole building mechanic.
Right. That just seemed like a lot, and I need so much practice for that, because it's not just shooting, it's also building things, and it's just, I don't know. So when I'd watch it, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But then I was like, yeah, not my cup of tea, but I'll watch it. And then when I saw that announcement on, I think I saw it on Twitter, maybe this morning, maybe last night, I can't remember. But I was like, oh, okay, so it's just shooting, right? And I was like, what would it be now then? So I guess I'm interested to see how it'll work out for Fortnite players, for sure.
It was kind of embarrassing to see I think she was like 6 or 7 when I first played with her, like totally showing me off, like like playing way better than I can. Like, yeah, she's a little kid, but then again, that's the game for like her generation as she is starting to get into games, you know?
Right.
Like that Fortnite to kids her age is what Pokemon was like when we were kids. So, which is weird to like try to wrap my head around how different it would be to grow up right now compared to growing up back then. I don't know.
Well, shockingly enough, my nephew is he's gonna be 7 in a couple months, actually less than a couple months, and he's obsessed with Pokemon. So he'll talk to me about Pokemon forever. And he actually like painted me a picture of Pokemon when he was younger. And we got matching like cups nice. That he got me for Christmas. Like, he loves Pokemon. And so like, even I sent him like Pokemon cards and stuff like that before. So yeah, he'll spend days talking to you about it. But I was like shocked. I was like, it's 20 years something later. Pokemon's still big, and my nephew's obsessed with it. I was like, well, that makes me feel good, because at least he's something into something I can talk to him about.
Well, I think the formula still just works though for kids. Mm-hmm. So I mean, even as big as Fortnite is, right? Like my niece, a lot of times she'll come to my house. She wants to come up here and play video games with me, and so I'll put different games in the Switch and let her play them. The two games that I've found that she has stayed with the longest, because she loses interest really quickly, were both Pokemon games. One of them was, Sword and Shield. The other one was Pokemon Snap. She was so into Snap that, you know, I told some of my other family about it, and for Christmas, my parents actually got her a copy of Pokemon Snap. Or maybe it was for her birthday. No, it's for Christmas. Yeah. So just because I told them how much she was into it here.
It's a good game.
So, you know, that made me feel good that, like, yeah, I'm teaching her the ways.
Yeah, when my nephew started, or actually my sister told me that he loved Pokemon, I was like, well, let me show you my card collection. Let me show you.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have everything from my childhood that I had, you know, because I had a Pokedex. I had Pokemon boots.
Did you have the original Pokedex? Because I had one, but it was like the very first one that they made, and it was like the original 150, and it kind of looked like it was this thing that flipped open. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like almost like a calculator looking thing, but
I think you type in like whatever number and it would show up.
Yeah.
Pokemon. Yeah. Yeah. That's the one I had. I love that thing.
I know they've done later ones for later generations too, but and looking back at it, the thing was kind of cheap and kind of lame, but
it was like the early 2000s. Right. I mean,
not even it's like late 90s.
They had hit clips back then. I mean, throw in for a 5-second tune.
But I do want to kind of get into some of the League of Legends stuff, because I've never really had a chance to talk to somebody about it on the podcast before. I've talked to a couple of people that have kind of played it before. But what really appeals to you about League of Legends?
Let's see. Oh, God. Because I've been playing it since I made the account in... Oh, my God. When did I make my account? 2013 is when I made my account.
So around season 3, I think.
Well, I had no idea. I literally only made it because
maybe 4.
Yeah, I have no idea. All I remember was that the only reason I made it was because the guy I was dating at the time, he was obsessed with League. And him and my best friend that's how they met, was because they were always talking about League and League this, League that. And so for his birthday, I was like, oh, I'll just make a League account, because I didn't know him very well and I didn't want to buy a gift and screw that up. So I was like, well, I'll just make a League account. And so he kind of taught me how to play League. And then his friends that he'd always play with would also kind of give me pointers. And it was kind of nice to like know people who played it and not just have a bunch of strangers all the time.
Yeah.
Trying
to learn that game through just playing with random people is not something I would necessarily, I don't think I would recommend that to anybody.
It can be stressful.
If anybody is listening to this that for whatever reason hasn't tried League of Legends at this point and is interested in it, because I think maybe some people might be at this point in time just because of Arcane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would not recommend just going in blindly. Like, find some people that know how to play the game already, and hopefully they're not, like, really toxic. and let them teach you, because that community can be a little abrasive.
There's some people that are really nice though, which is awesome. There's some people who realize, just like me, that it's just a game, you know, you brush it off at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. And what's nice too is that they have games where it's, you know, there's 5 of you who are, you know, also probably new people, and then there's against bots. So it gives you that time to practice, which that's actually what I was looking for in Apex too, is I was looking for like, oh, I just want to, you know, practice shooting some bots. And they're literally just standing there. And I was like, okay, I don't want to just practice standing people. I want to actually go through maps and get to know the maps and everything. And that's what I love about League, is that you can get to know the maps. Plus you get to know characters, you get to know like what the other champions do on top of what your champion does, because there's so many different abilities, there's so many different items, and it's just, it's a lot to learn. And there's times where I have no idea on items, or like I'm still asking questions, and it's always okay to ask questions, and I don't see the harm in it to like message and be like, hey, like I don't, especially when I'm in ARAMS, like that's where I go to practice and learn champs.
Yeah.
So I'm always just like, hey, I don't know this champ very well. How do you build, or what do you guys suggest I do, or stuff like that? I definitely recommend. And ARAMS, I can't remember what, I don't know what the rules are now. And I, like I said, I've been playing for a long time, so I don't remember. But I know a certain level you're, cause I used to only go to 30. 30 was what League would stop at. And then eventually they were just like, you know what? You guys have unlimited amounts of levels to go. And so it just, it started skyrocketing to different numbers, but it used to only stop at 30. And I can't remember, I think it's like 10 or 5 or something like that. And once you hit that level, then you can start playing ARAMs. Then you can start playing with other champions and start playing ranked and stuff like that. So you at first play with bots anyways.
30 is still the minimum level you need to hit to go into ranked, right?
Maybe. That's what I say. I don't really remember. It feels like it's been like a million years.
I think so. I mean, because you do have to have, I forget how many champions you have to own, because you have to own them to go into ranked.
There's like a lot of requirements.
Rotation champions there.
And you like have to know, like, because now it's like you get to choose your position beforehand. Used to sit there and have to type really fast. I used to be so afraid because I was like, I don't know jungle. I don't know jungle at all. I was like, I don't want jungle. I only know 80 carries.
I can't wrap my head around jungle. It's the one as the one role I tried to learn it.
I don't want to try.
But
you're braver than me.
I think I did a couple of PvP games. Mostly I just did bot games. There were like 5 or 6 different champions that at different points in time I tried to learn how to jungle, and I just never got good enough with any of them to really be able to trust. Every single other role I could do at least passably well. You know, I may not be great, but I could at least hold my own enough that, you know, I wasn't dragging my team down.
Right.
But jungle, if I ever got stuck with that in a ranked game, I was like, you know, I might as well just go duo lane, because if I try to do this, I'm going to hurt you guys.
I always try to give myself like, I always try to go for 80 carrier support. And then if like somehow magically I get put as like top or mid lane, I always think of like backup champs that I know would be better at top or would be good at mid. And then I always think of like at least 2, because they always do the banning. So you always want like a backup,
right,
to your backup, essentially. Because I know Gnar. I know how to play Gnar. So I could go top lane with Gnar. But if Gnar's taken, oh girl, I'm screwed, I guess. I didn't even think of a backup now. But like, I can't even think of a top lane off my head now. Top lane's not like as bad. Mid lane I could think of. You could do Lux mid lane. I mainly do Lux support though. I love Lux support. Right. And like some champs you don't have to do specifically with whatever. Like Lux is
pretty versatile.
Right. Like I said, Lux is more, I've seen Lux go both ways. I've seen some people do 280 carries on a team and it can go either way, but
it seems like the meta has changed quite a bit, because I stopped playing, I think, sometime around 2016. And I recently came back because I watched Arcane. And I want to get into that a little bit, too. but I watched Arcane. And I was like, hey, I'd like to go play League of Legends again. I don't know why. You know, there are a lot of reasons I stopped playing that game.
Yeah.
But after watching Arcane, I'm like, I got to go play this again. And I remember seeing some sort of tier list based on who was good in certain roles. And I saw like some of the characters that I used to play mid lane being listed as like that you could play basically within the ADC role, not as an ADC, but within that position. Specifically, I saw like Heimerdinger and Ziggs listed as, hey, you can use this in place of an ADC bot lane. Like, what? How?
I'm over here scratching my head. Yeah, you could play like, there's some of them that you can play AP or AD. And that's what really throws me off. I'm like, okay, so I don't know which direction to go with this champion sometimes. Or like, that's what, when I learn new champions, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to do. Someone help me, please. But I know that some people use what's that thing called? It's called, I think it's Blitz G, no, it's just called Blitz maybe. But it's like, it's supposed to build, it's supposed to like do your runes and your kind of like help you out, basically. It's supposed to do everything for you, essentially. So you don't have to do your, you don't have to remember to do your runes.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, I mean, finding the right build for any given character can be like, there's a lot to learn just in general for League. So if anybody is listening that hasn't played it, I would honestly recommend to somebody, like, don't try to necessarily learn everything at once, because there's too much. Just try all the free champions that you have access to in bot games first. And then and then after that, see which ones you kind of naturally fit with after trying them the first time, and then try to learn that champion. Like, really focus on one or two champions, and then, like you said, once you get high enough level, you can start playing Arams. I think that is the place where, at least I'm assuming, is less toxic than going into to normal Summoner's Rift games, and especially less toxic than ranked games. I feel like that's a much better place to learn. That's actually whenever I did play ranked back in, I can't remember what seasons it was. There was a couple seasons where I did play a little bit of ranked, and the only reason I ever got to the point where I felt comfortable going into ranked was because I had played a ton of Arams, and I felt like I was finally starting to understand the mechanics of the game well enough that I could go into ranked.
Yeah, ranked is, it's a scary zone. I tried ranked a couple times, and like, it's just, it's not fun. It's too stressful, I feel like. And definitely for at least my mental health's sake, I just said, screw it, I'm not doing it. And I moved over to, like, if I do Summoner's a lot more calmer, because there's not like you're, it's, I don't know how to say this. It's like, it's just a normal game, essentially. Like, it's just a game, like I said. So, but people, again, still don't take it that way. And then ARAMs is
because
just
a lot
fun.
Of people, I think, in normal games are practicing to go into ranked. And I think they're bringing that same kind of sweaty mentality into those normal games
right.
that they would into ranked games.
But there, I mean, ARAMs can be also a hit or miss too, but ARAMs are mainly people who are just there.
Occasionally you'll see it in bot games even, which is mind blowing.
Really? I never seen that.
It's kind of rare, but I've seen it even like, because when I first came back, the first thing I did is like, okay, it's been how many years? I probably should do a few bot games before, because I know I'm going to be rusty as heck here. And most of them went okay, but I do remember there being a couple of instances.
Yeah.
Whatever reason,
with
people losing their mind over some small mistake. And it wasn't even always aimed at me. Sometimes it was aimed at somebody else, but it's still like head scratching. Like, why are you getting upset over a bot game? We're going to win this either way.
Yeah, they're going to let us win. But with League 2, it's nice because then you could just mute all. And I did that for a while, but then after a while, I just kind of was like, you know what? I'll forget it. It's too much work. I'll just leave it. And then it just started getting bad again. And then I mute all of them. But I feel like it's up to whoever is gaming. Like, if you want to mute all, that's up to you. That's your discretion. But I mean, because it's not going to harm anything. If they need, there's now pings, which is nice. So like if there's someone missing, they can ping that someone's missing. If there's trouble coming, they can ping that. So if like if they take the time to type it out, then they can ping you. It's a lot quicker, in my opinion. So I always ping, like if someone's gone missing from my lane, then I'll ping. Like, I'm not just going to type out like, hey, someone's missing in bot. The only time I type out really is just like, if I'm in lane and there's like the whole team is in my lane, I'm like, hey,
right,
there's five in the bot lane. Help. Send help. There's also assist me too, which is nice. But so there's different pings. I like the emotes. The emotes are fun too. They've added a lot.
Yeah, those were nice. Those were not there whenever I stopped playing. I think that's a really unique way to be able to communicate with your team, because then you can, I think that's actually a much better way to be like, hey, thanks for the help. You know, you give them a thumbs up. Like that's, I think that may even make games maybe a little bit more positive.
Yes, I agree. I have all cats on mine. My little wheel has every single one has a cat.
Nice.
But yeah, so I mean, I definitely do like League. I mean, like, I don't even think I answered your question. I feel so bad. But I think the main appeal is just, I feel like I do really well in that game because I've played it for so long and I've worked so hard at it. And I had originally, I mean, I mentioned this in my stream before, but I originally had streamed back in like 2015 maybe, and I had only streamed for about 3 months because, you know, life got in the way. So I had school, I had work, I had internships. So I had to, you know, I was stressed and sleeping like 2 hours a night. So I was like, I have to drop something. And so I had to, you know, had to drop my stream, unfortunately. And I met someone who became my best friend on there. And I've talked about him on my stream too. His name was Liam, and he became my best friend, and we were very, very close. And like, he even taught me like more about League than I have ever, like, he's taught me more than I have ever learned in my entire League career. And I'm putting air quotes on that. Yeah. So like, I mean, like, even the guy that I had dated, like, he taught me up until that point. And then when he'd broken up, like, you know, obviously you don't talk to him. So, but Liam just taught me everything, you know, like about more about items, more about, you know, how to be a better AD carry, more about how to be a better support, those kind of things. And like he wasn't expecting me to play rank, but he would be, you know, the support to my AD carry, or he'd be in mid lane and he'd help me out and bot, like that kind of thing. So we were just like, I guess, duo partners essentially. But he was a really good guy, yeah. And he helped me out. And so after he had passed away in 2018, I believe, and I kind of quit League for a while. I took a long break. And when I came back to it, my current boyfriend was the one who kind of like, I don't want to say pushed, but he kind of like really encouraged me to get back into streaming, because I talked about my streaming with him. He pushed me into streaming. He kind of encouraged me to get back in the League, because he's like, you know what? You said you really liked it. You got time, you know, you could do it. Like, you really could. And so
I can see how that would be hard, though, after losing a friend like that.
Yeah.
Especially if you were close to them. Like, I think your boyfriend's probably right, though, to push you back to doing that if you really enjoyed it. But I can see how it would be hard.
Oh, yeah. Know? I didn't. Well, he had bought me the camera and he had bought me a tablet and everything like that to try to help me out. And I didn't get back into it until last year, about this time last year. I guess it'd be February last year. And so, I mean, it took time, but I wanted to get back into League first because I didn't want to just stream and then just start getting back in League. And
right.
Obviously, there's a lot of updates.
Don't want to get through the rust on stream.
Yeah. Because I'm good thing I did, because I remember I downloaded League one night and he was watching and I was sitting there and I was like, what the heck is all of this? I was like, how do I buy things now? I was like, what are these emotes? I was like, what do
Blue
I do with
essence.
Them?
Where's the IP?
I was like, every time I just hit shop, I was like, I panicked. I remember I'm sitting there at at the base and everybody's just team fighting and I'm just sitting there staring at this. I'm like, I don't know what I do. Like, major panic mode. I was like, I don't know what these emotes do. And I was like, I just, right. Everything had updated within, I would say, 2 years. It had updated and I was just in panic mode.
Yeah. I kind of felt the same way when I started playing again. When I saw the way the item shop works, like, what is this? This doesn't look anything like it used to. I don't like it. And then after like a month, I realized, Actually, this is better than
it used to it be. Helps you out.
This is way better than it used to be. But, you know, that whole resistant to change part of my brain's like, no, I don't like this.
Oh, yeah, it definitely helps you. I forget how the old way was, to be honest. Like, I mean, I think I looked at, I don't remember if I looked at old league pictures or something like that. But I think that was the one time I did. And I was just like, oh, my God, league looked awful. Got so it looks so much cleaner now,
right? Like not only have they touched up the map so much, but if you look at some of the more recent visual reworks for Champions, they look so much better than they used to.
Oh yeah.
Although I'll be honest, there's a couple of them that I don't necessarily like too much. Like just to give an example here, Fiddlesticks. I feel like he's not the same character. I kind of like the more goofy version of Fiddlesticks than the like dark, I'm going to murder you Fiddlesticks. I don't know.
That's the first one that came to mind when you said that. I'm not kidding you. Because I love the crows. That was my favorite move to use constantly is just throw crows. And they just like
go into right between now. People. I don't know. The like scythe thing that he has now.
Sounds like a pterodactyl.
It doesn't have the same feel. I liked old Fiddlesticks better.
At least he's still got his alt though. I love his ultimate.
Yeah. But I can kind of understand it. It definitely seems like they have an aesthetic in mind now. Where back in the beginning, everything was just kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like things seemed to fit together better now. Which then again, like certain champions. Like, Annie's never going to fit the current aesthetic that they have. There's no way they could rework Annie into the current aesthetic and it seem right. Like, that she would be a totally different character.
Oh, I see what you mean. I love Annie so
or
much.
Or a Mumu. I don't know how you change a Mumu to fit in with the current aesthetic they have. I mean, Fiddlesticks, they did. They made Fiddlesticks used to be that more goofy character, but mm-hmm. now he's, like, dark and something that looks like he legitimately looks like an evil version of, you know, Scarecrow from Batman.
Yep.
An even my more mind. Evil version.
I would say the one from Gotham, that show Gotham. That's what it reminds me of.
I think the characters of League have always been, in a way, part of the appeal. I think it definitely was a big reason I stuck with it. And I think that's part of why seeing changes to characters like Fiddlesticks kind of bothers me in a way, because I kind of did fall in love with the original versions of them. Others didn't bother me as much, which, you know, if they tried to change like one of the Yordles into something that they never were, then I'd probably be really upset. But it did one thing that was kind of an issue I felt like with League, and I know that they've done more with lore in the last few years, and they just released like the Ruined King and stuff. Like they're really doing things to try and expand on that world. Of course, they just did Arcane, which is fantastic. It's like they're finally starting to actually do something more with those characters than just, hey, here's a new character we have in this game.
I really liked Arcane. I was definitely, I guess, okay, so we can say spoilers, right? We can talk spoilers.
Yeah,
I guess
sure.
Since it's been out for so long.
We'll just say, all right, if you haven't seen Arcane, honestly, we'll just throw this up as our spoiler warning now. seriously, go watch it, even if you've never played League. It's really good.
I would say that, too.
It is seriously worth watching. You don't have to know anything about the characters or that universe before going in. I know people that never played the game at all that watched Arcane and thought it was fantastic. So
I'd second that. I have coworkers who keep coming up to me and talking about Arcane, and I'm like, yeah, it's good. And I was like, the only reason you're talking to me about it is because I play League. But it's, I mean, it's really good, and I'm glad that they are starting to make them, and hopefully they make a lot more, because I know when I first started playing, they would talk about stories with different champions, like how Ezreal and Lux have a thing, and Zoe's always jealous of it. So, I mean, I've seen that even on, like, I think, like, I can't remember if I saw it on League's YouTube or some, or Riot's YouTube or something like that. I don't remember who did it, but they would talk about how, like, different interactions with, like, if certain champions are in games, you can hear them talk to each other. And, like, right. Zoe gets really jealous and, like, she will talk smack to Lux because she wants Ezreal. So, like, stuff like that. And, like, I always want to know, like, their huge background stories. So I was really happy. And I love Caitlyn. Caitlyn's one of my mains. And so, and I used to love Jinx. I think Jinx was one of the champions that first got released whenever I started playing. So Jinx was another one of my favorite champions. But knowing her story now makes me, like love her even more and be more sympathetic towards her.
Jinx was actually the reason I finally started learning how to play ADC back,
really?
Back then. Yeah, I thought whenever she first came out that she was a really interesting character. Of course, they had the music video for Get Jinxed when they first released her, which was awesome. I was like, I have to play this character now. She's great. So then I learned. I picked her up like. Right off the bat. And also Vi was another one too that I really thought was awesome. In part again because of the song that they released whenever she first came out.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean Vi was definitely released before I started playing. But I mean I did like her background story too, but I never ever figured out that knew that Vi and Caitlyn would be like a thing. I never saw that coming. And so, like, I mean, you could obviously see it when, like, obvious things were happening in the show. But I was so happy, like, by the end of it. And, like, just the cupcake thing. Especially, like, in my Discord, we're always, like, we have an Arcane channel. And we'll sit there and just, we were posting, like, constant, like, just, we post about, like, just different things. Like, talking about, like, did you hear what Caitlyn said or did you hear what Vi said or what'd you guys think of this? And like, it's so nice to like bond over something like that, which is nice. And I don't know. The show is really good. And I honestly did not like Jace by the end of it though. I think that was the one character that I did not like by the end of it.
I never liked Jace anyway. Really? I remember, I'm serious. Whenever, I think when Jace first came out, I don't remember if it was right before Draven and Darius or right after, but I remember like during that phase of champion releases, like there was like a phase there. I'm like, I'm really not interested in any of these characters coming out right now. Of course, I ended up really liking Draven at some point. So,
ooh, Draven's good.
So, that ended up not staying the case because now I love Draven, think he's awesome.
Oh yeah, but Draven was the first one I got my first penta with, so like I love Draven.
Nice.
But it was nice too because we always in the chat we'd also talk about like different champions we'd noticed throughout the series. So like we talk about, oh, I just saw Singed, or oh, I saw this champion, or oh, I saw that champion. And like we would just sit there and keep track of like what champions we kind of saw like little bits of, or like what we thought was going to be this or however it was. But yeah, I ended up not liking Jace by the end of it, which sucked because it was at first it was Heimerdinger I wasn't really too fond of. But then by the end of it, I was like, Jace, why?
See, I actually really like how they presented Heimerdinger in the show. I thought they did him pretty well, which
they did.
I was a Heimerdinger main for a long time. He was my main before I stopped playing. And even when I came back, he was the first champion. I'm like, all right, I've got to play Heimerdinger again. I just always loved his turret mechanics. So the fact that he had a major part in that show, I'm not sure I would have come back to League if it wasn't for the fact that my old main happened to be a main part of the show. Like, right. I of course I like Jinx and Vi and Victor, but Heimerdinger was my main, you know? So
I think Heimerdinger and Victor should have gotten skins too, though, in my opinion. Just because Jace got one. Like, they all got arcane skins. Jace, Vi, Caitlyn, and Jinx. They all got one.
Echo got one, too, a little after the fact, which they really messed up, I feel like, with Echo's skin, because they didn't give him the mask.
Oh, no. I didn't see that. Huh. I love, because I mean, I love it wasn't Echo, too.
I think that because they named most of them Arcane and then the champion, I think Echo's was Firelight though, because that was the name of his group in the show.
Oh, huh.
So it wasn't, which then again, that could be because they've that's part of his lore anyway. So they just went with that, but they still should have, I think they should have given him the mask.
Right. Like a specialty skin. But yeah. Feel bad. Like, I don't know. Like I said, some of the champions that they threw in there, I think they, like, especially the main ones, they should have given all of them skins, not just...
There's still time for that, though. You gotta imagine they'll probably come out with another wave of arcane skins whenever Season 2 comes out, so...
Yeah, I'm excited for Season 2. I know, like I said, a lot of my coworkers watch it, and we've all been in discussion. Well, one of them actually does play League. So we've been discussing, like, is it going to be the same characters? Are they going to try to do, like, a different viewpoint of it? Like, how are they going to go with Season 2?
My understanding is that it's going to be mostly revolving around the same group of characters. So it'll be still talking about, you know, what's going on with Piltover and Zaun. And that's what Arcane is going to be. Pretty much moving forward, but they may at some point do more shows that cover other parts of the world, and I really hope they do, especially if it's on par with the quality of Arcane. Like, seriously, do all of the League of Legends Netflix shows. I want to see all of for every, like, area of Runeterra. Just make a new show.
Well, they've also been coming out with so many new champs too. So, like,
that's true. Like, the two most recent champions would both fit right into Arcane because they're both Zaun based champions. Mm-hmm. So, Zeri, and what's the newest one? I can't remember.
I can't think of her name. She's more of a support champ. Yeah, though.
She looks interesting. I can't remember what her name is, but I know she's a Kim Baron. Like, she could, I don't think Zeri or the other new champion would be in Season 2, because it sounds like, I'm assuming anyway, that, you know, their development and Arcane had nothing to do with each other. But then again, it's possible if they knew ahead of time that, hey, they're making these new champions and they're going to be based in the same part of the world that Arcane is based in, that maybe they could show up in Season 2. I think it's much more likely they will show up in Arcane at some point, but it might be like Season 3 or 4, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, give, like, players a chance to get to know them a lot more or something too.
Like, there are a lot of champions that could be in Arcane just based on, again, where it's set out in the world that haven't been yet. Because, I mean, Runeterra is a pretty big place. It's a whole world, basically.
Yeah.
But there's like 100 and almost 160 champions in the game now, which feels weird to say. When I first started playing, I think when I first started playing, like, Orianna was the most recent champion. And she was if I remember right, she was the 80th champion.
Oh my God.
Now there's like almost twice that
game. Yeah, I don't even know that many people.
But yeah, like, there are so many, like Blitzcrank. If I'm remembering right, I think Victor built Blitzcrank, right? Is that,
I didn't know that, but I don't know that backstory. That's awesome, though.
I believe that's the case. And I believe that's right, that Victor built Blitzcrank. So if that's true, like, that's got to be something that happens in Arcane at some point, right? That's something I would really look forward to see. I want to see that. I want to see Victor building Blitzcrank. That would be right. Amazing.
There's just so many backstories. That's what I love about this game too. It's just like there's so many backstories, so many different like things to learn about it. Like every day you're learning something new.
I really hope too. And not this isn't just a League of Legends thing, but I feel like Arcane's probably one of the best video game adaptations out there. As far as like, hey, we're going to make a TV show or a movie or something based around a video game. I can't think of anything that's anywhere close to as good as Arcane. I know I've heard some people say a lot of good things about the Castlevania show on Netflix. I need to watch that at some point. But I haven't seen anything that I thought was as good as Arcane. Now, I did kind of enjoy Detective Pikachu, and I've heard that the Sonic movie was pretty good, but I'm really hoping that Arcane is the sign of the bar being raised for video game adaptations in other media.
Yeah. I mean, especially because like everybody knows about Sonic. Everybody knows about Pokemon. Pokemon was like, Pokemon just keeps growing. Pokemon's huge. Like, I feel like it will continue to. I don't know how much longer. Because I figured, like, by this time, like, Pokemon would have slowed down. And it has not. It just, like I said, it keeps growing. There's new Pokemon constantly. Like I told you earlier, like, my nephew's into it. He tells me about these new Pokemon all the time. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I want to say Pokemon's actually one of the most recognizable like brands I think Pikachu's one of the most recognizable characters in the world. Oh, yeah. I think he's up there with Mickey Mouse at this point.
Oh my God.
I think I heard that somewhere that it may have even surpassed Mickey Mouse at this point. I'm not sure because it's not just big here or in Japan. Like Pokemon is huge across the entire world at this point. And like, there's very few things that are that universally recognizable. Like Mickey Mouse obviously is huge. And I would have always thought that if a video game character would have ever become that big, that it would be like Mario. And not that Mario's not pretty well recognizable, but the fact that Pikachu has gone that much further then Mario is mind-blowing to me.
And Mario's got a movie coming out soon too, right?
I am worried about that. I don't know. Some of the choices in voice actors there. I don't dislike anybody who's on that voice cast. What I question is they'll voicing the specific characters that they're voicing.
And the edit, yeah. I feel that. But then, like, with Sonic, like, they originally came out with that one. Everybody was just upset because of how awful Sonic looked. And then, like, they changed it, and the movie was really good. And now they're coming out with that second one. And I'm excited to see that second one. But I think that was good.
First, I was going to see it with a friend one time. We actually, it was a friend of mine. A girl he was dating at the time had just broken up with him, and it was on Valentine's Day. And I was like, okay. And he said, I want to go see the Sonic movie. So I'm like, all right, I'll go with you. Because, that just really had to suck right before Valentine's Day. So we got excited. I was like, all right, we're going to go see Sonic. This is going to be good. We get there. Sonic sold out. So we ended up watching the Harley Quinn movie instead because what else was playing at that point in time. And I haven't had a chance to see Sonic yet, but I think that was like right after that movie first opened up in theaters. So
yeah,
that right there was a sign. The fact that it was sold out that, on Valentine's Day, that it had to be doing pretty well.
But that one's good. And then I used to play Assassin's Creed quite a bit, but then they came out with that movie and I heard it was awful. So I never actually saw it because I heard so many awful reviews. And then, I mean, because it's either hit or miss with some of these, because right. either the game's really good, they do an awful, like you said, adaptation of like the movies, or the movie's really good and they go to the game and it's not. So it's just like back and forth. But I really did. I was a little bit nervous because I was a little nervous about it because I didn't like the how it was animated with Arcane. But then like right. as I got watching it, I was like, oh, I really do enjoy this. I was like, I don't even really mind it at this point because I like the storyline so much. And then like I obviously play the game. But like you said, you could either not play League or play League and still enjoy Arcane quite a bit.
Yeah, because I mean the storytelling was so good. And they didn't just 100% focus on characters from the game either. Like there were a lot of characters in the show that are not champions in League of Legends that were totally original to the show that were, it was like they didn't just force champions from the game into the show just because. They really were just trying to tell a good story, I think. And that I think has to be important for doing these types of adaptations, because a lot of video games, I mean, their stories are written to be played in a video game, and that's going to be difficult to translate, I feel like, in a lot of cases to movies or TV shows. So, you know, how do you do that and still make it a good story? I think Arcane, at least so far, has to be the best example of this is how it should be done.
Help too, I feel like, is especially for people who don't play League of Legends, is the celebrity appeal, because they had Hailee Steinfeld, they had I can't think of her name, but she played she was in Harry Potter, she played I'm losing it, I can't think of the character's name, but the love interest originally
play in
the love interest of Harry Potter originally. I lost it. I'm blank. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
The first, I'm assuming you're not talking about Jenny, right?
No, not Jenny. Not Jenny.
Was it Cho?
Yes. Thank you. Help me out. But yeah, so she's in it. Then you have, like I said, Hailee Steinfeld. You have, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I saw on the list, but like you said, the definitely celebrity appeal, definitely people are just like, oh, I love Hailee Steinfeld and everything she's in. Like, I'm going to go watch this. And like that also can appeal to, like, it's not just, you know, people who actually play the characters. Because I definitely did not expect, because I didn't even notice that it was Hailee Steinfeld that was playing. I think she plays Vi. I didn't even notice that until right. I looked at the list. And I was like, oh, wow. And she also just got done doing Hawkeye at that time, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was right when Hawkeye brought out the first episode.
The one thing that kind of felt a little goofy to me, though, in Arcane was definitely the fact that, like, oh, look, Imagine Dragons just exists in universe now, like, for League of Legends. Like, what? Like, they just have Imagine Dragons there, and they're just there. Like, that's strange.
I'm not a huge Imagine Dragons fan, but I know my brother-in-law went to go see them at one point. He said they were pretty good. So I was like, okay. I was like, they're not awful, but they're not my favorite. I'll take
it. They're like right on the edge of my taste in music, if that makes sense. Like they're within the realm of stuff I do listen to, but they're kind of just outside of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I like them, but I don't necessarily love them.
When the show first premiered, like I remember listening to that song every once in a while, and I was like, okay, it's not bad. And then like I would hear radio stations play it, and I was like, okay.
I think they must be big League of Legends fans, because they've used their music for stuff in the past. I think at least one of the members is a pretty big League player.
Yeah, that's what's nice too, is League is like, I know a lot of celebrities do play it. I think you're right, is that because they, like I said, like you said, there is like a, they've used their music before. And I think maybe one or two of them do. I don't know, but I think you're right. But I also know, like, there's also like NBA players who play League. I don't know who else would play League, but I'm not sure if they like stream it or anything, but League's a lot more popular than I thought personally it would ever be.
Well, looking at the time here, I think we've about run out of time, but this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on here and doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, before we wrap up, is there anything you would like to promote? Obviously, your Twitch stream. But anything else as well?
I do have my Discord. I have TikTok, and I do have Instagram and Twitter. And they're all pretty much the same thing. The L is a 1 and the O is a 0 because League took all the other good names. The normal right. Drawn Fire. So I just kept adding numbers until eventually got it right.
So that is like G-I-R-1.
Yep.
I think you have the space there too, right? Or is it all one?
On Twitch, it's an underscore just because, okay. Yeah, I don't know why I added the underscore. I don't know why I do things, but.
GER1 underscore 0N. Is there another underscore there before fire?
Yes.
Okay, so.
The spaces right. Are underscores.
Okay. And then is that the same for TikTok or just spaces there?
TikTok is no space.
Okay.
No spaces at all.
All right. Well, definitely go check her out. I think you'll definitely enjoy her content, especially if you're in the League. And of course, you know, she said that she's going to start playing some Switch games on there too. So a lot of stuff to look forward to there. So go show her some love. And of course, come follow us on Twitter at AllTheGamingOne. And if you want to follow me myself on Twitter at Insanikit on Twitter. And of course, follow our Facebook page, join our Facebook group, and come join our Discord server. Come join in on the discussion. It'll be fun, like listening to this, except you can participate. Of course, go check out all of our past episodes on all the major podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're out there. If you can't find us, try searching both with and without spaces. And if you find a podcast platform that you listen to a lot of podcasts on, and for whatever reason we're not on it, let me know. I'll try to get it up there. I want All the Gaming to be on as many podcasting platforms as possible, so it can be easily found. So hit me up. Let me know if you can't find us for whatever reason. And of course, if you want to support us, go check out the All the Gaming merch store. So go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
That'd be fantastic. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.